science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to follow up really on the episode from last week's panpsychism discussion. Now, if you remember, panpsychism is a philosophical theory that suggests that consciousness is a fundamental and universal feature of all matter. So just try and imagine a world in which every particle, no matter how small, has a form of consciousness. And it comes from the Greek words pan meaning all and psyche meaning mind or soul. And basically, it's a fascinating idea, I think, that we're all part of a kind of global, shared, universal consciousness, each with our individual part to play within it. Now, that said, many, many years ago, decades ago, in fact, I came up with the idea of the Gaia principle as a way of looking at your work life in particular, but also as something you can apply to all aspects of your life. In fact, I would actually highly recommend that you do apply it to all aspects of your life. So what is the Gaia principle? Well, it's principle 10 in my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, which I've mentioned a few times now. It is coming. I know it's kind of late, but I'm trying to get the formatting right, which is one particular issue. And secondly, I keep finding new little distinctions and ideas that I need to put in the book, or feel that I need to put in the book. But I've actually put a break on that side now. Any new ideas can go in another revision. I'm concentrating getting the book out as soon as possible. But however, going back to what I was saying, the Gaia principle is principle 10. And the basic idea is everything is connected to everything else. Now, the Gaia hypothesis, which gave me the idea for the Gaia principle, is an idea put forward by James Lovelock. Now, he's a well-known British scientist with a significant body of work with NASA in particular, amongst a lot of other bodies across the UK and the Western world. He's not someone psychologically given to flights of fancy, but he proposed this really simple and elegant idea. We should think of the world as a living, breathing entity, and every creature and process of nature is part of that entity's biosystem. And what I'm saying is you should think about your business and indeed your life in exactly the same way. The basic idea is everything is interconnected to everything else. It's like that song, Dem Bones, you know, the toe bone is connected to the foot bone, etc. I'm not going to sing it because I haven't got a great singing voice, but you know the song. So it can't have escaped your attention that for like the last 20 years, all we've heard about is this drive for increasing productivity in the British workforce in particular. But if you look at the cuts that started way back in 2010 and have continued throughout, no matter what flavour of government we have, and the recent announcements from the current government have been an absolute disaster in terms of business. The rhetoric about finding ways to increase productivity and the way that we do business, and the way that other parts of the government are cutting things left, right and centre, these two things are very, very diametrically opposed in terms of getting the desired effect. We do need to grow productivity and we do need to grow the economy to make the country a success, but the policies that we're pursuing to save money are actually damaging that very drive to improve productivity. Now, I don't want to turn this into political discourse because that's not what ThinkWorks is ever going to be about. I'm pointing out that everything is indeed connected to everything else. And unless we realise this silo way of looking at lives where we put everything in different silos, oh, costs in this silo, productivity in that silo, government in this silo, business over there, education over here, and they all do their own thing, we're never going to have that nirvana of increasing productivity and happiness in the workforce and a feeling of contribution, which is vital to us as human beings, and reducing the overall debt. So all these things need to be looked at in one particular policy, not separate silos. Now, in the chapter, I discuss in more detail about how some of the policies from various governments over the last decade and a half have really impacted on the ability of businesses and entrepreneurs in particular to help the country grow its economy and become successful whilst taking everyone with them, which is, again, that's not the government's fault. Particularly a lot of the big corporations also take the same approach. They don't look at their people working for them as anything other than an asset, instead of, and it's an asset that you can have a profit or loss against, and you can just cut without thinking about the individuals that you are cutting and all this kind of stuff. So the book, the chapter itself, goes into a little bit more detail about that. That's not what I want to do here. What I want to get across is that we have to start to see everything we do as something that could affect everything else we do. And until we get that trick in our mind, if I buy this equipment for which is going to be great for sales, does it actually impact negatively on order taking by accounts? Or does it impact on stock management by the warehouse facilities? A lot of the times we're not considering these kind of questions. It's kind of like, we look at AI and we're going to roll it out to do this, but we're not considering the wider implications of how safe is it for our data management in that case? How many jobs are we actually going to lose within our business or organization by implementing AI to do this particular aspect of work? Is there any way, what we should be looking at is these people that we are about to lay off, is there a way actually where we can maximize the use of the AI and reskill or repurpose the skills of the people that are going to be suddenly out of a function to plug them into gaps elsewhere in our organization, rather than just simply shutting the department down? I think it was Schrodinger that said, quantum physics reveals a basic oneness of the universe. And this is how you need to look at your life. Yes, you can break it down into categories of personal and professional, but you still need to look at how one affects the other. So, for example, you know, working all hours of the day and night on your business or for the company you work for might be great for the bank balance, but if you're impacting upon your health, if you're impacting upon your relationships with your partners or with your family or just generally with people per se, then you're having a negative impact that could be far greater than the rewards that you're trying to achieve. It's finding a balance between all these different aspects of your life that's really important. Yes, I'm not saying that if there's a particularly big project that needs to be in 2 weeks' time that you shouldn't, and it's going to really deliver massive benefits, I'm not saying that for the short term that you shouldn't spend that 2 weeks doing that, but just make sure you explain to everyone else in your ecosystem why the focus needs to be on delivering this project and what it's going to deliver for your business or to your colleagues at work or to your staff at work, but also to your personal relationships. And you know, no, James, I can't go to the pub because I've got this to do, but it's only for 2 weeks, and then once I've finished it, we're going out to celebrate. Don't worry about dinner tonight. I'll sort myself out. Just need to concentrate on this, but when it's finished, we'll all go out for a big family meal to celebrate. So it's just about explaining the benefits and why it's short-term, and that's what you need to think about. Focus hard on one aspect, yes, but for a limited time, and make sure that all the other aspects of your life, it's explained to them why you need to just concentrate on this bit for the next 2 weeks or the next month. If you are working, if you own your own business and you've got staff working for you, or you're a manager in a larger business, you need to implement a change management board, and it needs to be made up of representatives from all areas of your business to evaluate any proposed changes to any system that operates within that business. So if you want to launch a new service, have it checked out by everything: operations, finance, IT, sales, technical support. It doesn't matter. Get them all involved in looking at this new service or product and seeing how it will impact and hopefully improve, but if there's any negative impact as well to implementing the system. This also means, of course, that you have to bring departmental heads on board and convince them of the need for such considerations and evaluations to be made. And then you will have the ego battles to deal with. But if you've worked with the team already on creating a vision and subsequent business plan, that's discussed in earlier chapters of the book, or in your with your family in a personal context where you've discussed various aspects of adventures that you want to do with the family, but also some of the activities you need to do outside of the family. If you've got all that in place, it becomes easier to bring people back on task. So when those egos do kick off, and they will, you can actually just say, what is the actual vision of the company? What is the goals that we wanted to achieve this year as a family? And how does this bickering and how does this approach that you're now taking, Mr. Ego, Mrs. Ego, how does that actually help us achieve that? And you bring them back all the time to what it is you really want to achieve going forward. You need to, and you don't do it aggressively, you just keep it up as a gentle chastisement, and eventually even the biggest ego heads will start to focus on what they need to focus on and not solely on their own agenda, because it's making them understand that yes, their department might be affected by this, but there are mitigation strategies that we can come up with to help that department, because the benefits for the rest of the business or the rest of the family or the rest of the community organisation far outweigh a couple of extra costs that might be put into one specific area. I mean, you could even go as far as to have a whole huggy tree type approach and show the James Lovelock video presentation to your entire staff or to your family. Just say, hey, look at this. This is a great idea. What do you think about us looking at our family life and going forward in this idea that what I do and what you do and what you do affects the rest of us, and maybe we can work out better ways to do these changes or to go on that adventure or to buy that particular piece of equipment or to work late and what have you without it affecting the dynamics of the family going forward. And with the business, it's even more powerful, because if you can get that buy-in that says, whenever we make change, we need to see how the interconnectedness of each and every part of this business could be affected by that change. And you always start with people at the centre. So the latest Okie Cokie 2000 might be absolutely amazing for me as a sales manager to track what my salespeople are doing. But in the process of doing that, I'm actually adding 3 hours a day work onto the back of the salespeople who have to fill this thing in. You need to be looking and thinking about all this all the time. What would you rather have your salespeople doing? Selling or filling in forms? It's got to be the selling. So you have a look at ways that you can mitigate against all the downsides because you're putting people at the center right from the start. And like all major changes, if you go down this change management board type approach, don't make it a one-off. Don't even make it once a year. I would do this twice a year, get everyone in and just say, right, these are some of the stuff that we've been working on. This is what's working well. What isn't? How has this impacted? How is this changing the economy? In fact, I'll rephrase that. I would have it structured so that you do it twice a year as part of the unexpected guest principle, bring that in, the GAIA principle into that, which I discussed a couple of episodes ago, the unexpected guest principle. But then make sure that you've got this change board in place so that if there's a sudden impact or shock, like the Ukraine war, for example, or the banking crisis, that you have got group of people can very quickly get together to talk about how those changes that you're going to see in the marketplace for whatever reason are going to impact upon your business and how you can best all work together to mitigate the effect on your business or on your family, and you can really ride even on some opportunities that might come out of that planning session. And the beauty of the Gaia principle is it's not only about your immediate business or your immediate family. Once you've got it established and working, you can then start to extend it. So if you're a business, you can extend it to your suppliers and your customers. If you're a family, obviously you extend it, you extend your bubble of influence and get that next part of your leverage working. If you're a community group, how can you you get your community group working properly first, then you extend it to look at how you interact with local government services, then you extend it to look at how you can partner with businesses, local businesses, and national businesses working in your locality, and so on. And you make everyone feel that they are involved in the process of going forward. Let's take a bite. As you know, regular listeners will know that whenever I do a chapter of the book, each chapter has its own take a bite section. And in this one, it's call a meeting with your department heads and ask them to take it in turn to reveal any changes they are thinking of making or are making in their processes, systems or staffing rotas. And then go round the table and ask each member to assess if the change will have an impact on their department. If you're a team manager or one person band, start to think about changes you want to make or have been told you need to make and analyze them thoroughly before you implement them. Make sure you communicate any concerns. And you can do that with family members, with community groups, with organizations. You just structure in such a way in that everyone is aware that we all impact on everyone else. And some of those impacts will have benefits, some will not. And we need to make sure that we're prepared for the knots and that we can take advantage of the benefits. So it's all, you know, you can roll it out across different aspects of your life. And I mentioned about extending it out to suppliers and your clients, because if they visit your office and they can see an environment where staff have space to think, where they're encouraged to share and to talk and share ideas and experiences, and they could see that there's a buzz in the office that is a really good, positive kind of buzz. And how staff interact with one another, it's all visible, it's all there. How would a client or supplier feel when they see that happening within your office or within your company? How would they see that your business at that point? They would actually see something that is positive, forward-thinking, all-inclusive type of organization, and they would feel much more comfortable dealing with you on that basis because they can see that you're someone who isn't just chasing the almighty dollar. You are working hard to make sure that everyone feels involved in the process and that everyone benefits from the processes. And it's just, I think, if you can roll it out and get that buzz, that so that everyone feels part of your business, or everyone feels part of your community group, or everyone feels equally valid in your family group. If you've got that all rolling, then that's when the real power of the Gaia principle comes into its own, and you can really start to see positive influences and positive effects on the rest of your life. Now, as always, at the end of each chapter, I try to put myself in your shoes and come up with some questions and answers. And I call it coping with indigestion. So, because you're taking a bite, coping with indigestion, get it? Anyway, so for this one, I asked the question, I still think this is a bit hippie to hug a tree. Are you sure this idea would work in a business context? Yes. Now, I actually explained in the book, I was just going to leave it as a simple yes, but I thought I'd better explain a little bit more. If you create a culture where your employees and eventually suppliers and clients started to view their organization as a living, breathing entity, which means that most of them would have a subconscious drive to take care of that entity, it just all comes back to that idea that the more a person feels a positive connection to an organization or family or community group, the more loyal they will be to it and the more determined they will be to make it a success. And give your people time to think as well, and encourage them to think and to make suggestions. This all ties into the round table principle, which I'll discuss in a future episode of ThinkWorks. But the idea is that you take these ideas and these people just having time to think and discuss different ideas amongst themselves, a gem may well appear that can literally be of massive benefit to your community or to your business. And if you're not giving people the time to actually explore ideas about how they can streamline things or improve processes or implement a new service, if you're not giving them time to actually do that instead of just grinding their nose all day long and getting the job done that they're paid to do, you're not really going to move forward other than if there's a sudden lurch caused by outside influences. It's better to drive your change from within than it is to allow outside changes, market changes, etc., to affect you from without. And then the other one I put is, I'm sure how to apply this principle into my personal life. And I've put, change the words business and organization into personal life as you read, and amend words like client into family. I know it sounds a bit trite, but if you do that, you can actually see how the principle can be applied to your personal life. And that's the same with all the principles and ideas in the book. And all of it is designed really to stop people from making decisions for themselves without thinking about the positive impact on those around them. That's same in a family or in a business or in a community or in a government agency, I don't care where it is. Too many people or managers or directors or VPs or whatever make a decision without really considering the full impact elsewhere within the context of what they're making a decision on. So it's always important to keep coming back to that guiding principle. Everything is connected to everything else, and people must always be at the center of what you are deciding or trying to work out. If you build on that, you're more likely to be able to take people with you when you do have to make an uncomfortable change, because there has been some kind of massive upheaval in the marketplace or in the world or in the country or in your local government. It doesn't matter. If you are able to take your people with you in any context, that's half the battle there and then. And it's important, therefore, to always keep coming back to that. So in a nutshell, that's the GAIA principle. There'll be more detail, obviously, there's a little more detail in the book and some examples of where organisations have implemented such an approach and the benefits that it's had. And always, I'm always available to answer any questions you may have. Anyway, if you go to darreninform.com/ThinkWorks Forum, you'll find there's a post for this particular episode. Ask your questions, I will answer them. And if you want me to come and do a presentation on some of the ideas in the book to your organisation, whether it's a community group or a government department or a business, I'm more than happy to do it because I've got years of experience of trying to work out the best ways and the most elegant ways of trying to effect change. And sometimes it starts with someone coming in and saying, here's the blueprint, here's an idea, here's a blueprint for you to follow. And if you want me to also come in and evaluate what you're doing and how you're doing it, and also project manage this particular aspect, then we can do that as well. So it's all open to you guys. Have a listen again to this episode. If there's anything you're not clear about, ask your questions. And if you want me to get more involved, let me know. In the meantime, I've no idea what I'm going to be doing next week. But I'm sure when I sit down and look at the ideas that I've got written down in my little black book, then I'm sure it'll be something fun and entertaining, hopefully, and hopefully thought-provoking. Take care, everyone. I'll see you next week. And in the meantime, above all else, keep asking questions.
would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.